This is James Throckmorton, and I want to talk about the knowledge of good and evil. And to introduce that subject, there's really only one place to go in the Bible, and that's Genesis, the third chapter, where man comes up against his arch enemy for the first time. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the eternal God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "You may eat fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." I don't think we ever think too much about that. We always think in the term of eating it, and, you know, man's warped tradition says it's an apple, which that's not what it's talking about. God didn't just say, don't eat it. He said, don't touch it. And that's a principle we need to remember about when we come in contact with evil, is we don't want to play with it. And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you should die." And it's in the midst of the garden. And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." This is where I like to call it the lie that won't die, where Satan palmed off his first lie that man was immortal. You won't die. You'll go ahead and live. I have disobeyed God. For God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And we can go ahead and read the penalties and what God told Adam and Eve, how their eyes were opened and they saw they didn't have any clothes, and how they hid from God and all those things. But the thing we want to zero in on today is verse 5. "For God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." It's a good thing to be able to recognize good and evil, isn't it? You see, that's really the way that people look at it. That Adam and Eve made a step forward at this point. They improved their intellectual abilities. Before, they didn't know anything about evil. Think how different the world had been if sin had never been brought into the world. This is where they brought it in, because, you know, it sounds like a simple thing, the knowledge of good and evil. But that is not as palatable after you eat it and get it in your stomach and it sours. And the Bible makes some references to little books like that, that's sweet in the mouth and sour in the stomach. Same thing here. Evil, just being in the presence of it. And that's why we need to be careful what we do. You know, the New Testament says that if somebody comes to you with a doctrine different than the one the apostles taught, receive them not, or bid them Godspeed, lest you be partakers of their evil deeds. Now, we live in a society today that prides itself, and particularly since the Dark Ages, since the Renaissance or the Enlightenment period, where man starts to get smart in his own eyes. We don't realize how much knowledge had been lost during the Dark Ages, but this Age of Enlightenment, the Renaissance, man really improved his station in life when he learned to make statues and paintings of heavenly scenes and nude human bodies, that somehow this was great enlightenment, that we'd come forward. And it's laughable, it really is, that man thinks in reverse sometimes. But after all, the Bible talks about the time and the place where men call the things that are good, they call them evil, and the things that are evil, they call them good. Those of us in this society today, in 2015, ought to really be able to comprehend that, because we live in a society that's doing that very thing, that the things that are evil, mm-hmm. that God absolutely condemns, are good. That the practices of Sodom and Gomorrah that God rained fire down on are totally acceptable. That's the society in which we live. And to say what God says, just to quote God on it, can be considered a hate crime. And so that's where we've come with the knowledge of good and evil. Now, let's go back to the Renaissance. And this is actually a very prominent view that the American people have, that the political system has, everything, that every generation is improving the status of man, that everything's getting better. And yet, every generation that comes along condemns things that the previous generation did, the misconduct of the previous generation. And you know, there's a lot of things that's going on today that are totally acceptable, that when the next generation comes along, and if this happens to be the millennial generation of the kingdom of God, boy, are they really going to get condemned. The generation in which we live right now, well, they look back and they condemn slavery and they condemn segregation and put on their righteous hats and they condemn those previous generations. But there's future generations that are going to be condemning this one even worse. 70 million little babies killed. What Hitler and Stalin did was nothing compared to that. Nothing compared to that. And so man's really gained something. Adam and Eve really did us a favor. They were progressives. They did us a favor because after they ate of the fruit and touched it, they had to touch it before they ate it. And what it was, what the specific thing was, we don't know. We just don't know. Just to go close to that center of the garden, I guess, was it. And you know, but God had also put in the garden, along with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he had put in there the tree of life. They could have reached out and got the Holy Spirit. They could have got contact directly with God, had the mind of God that could guide and direct them and help them live a perfect life. And if Adam and Eve had done that, they would have never died. They'd still be alive today. But they made the choice. They sort of like the idea of deciding for themselves. It's like something that you hear in our society today is it's a matter of choice. It's the woman's choice. Same thing Eve said, my choice, God, don't you get in the way of by telling me right or wrong, because it's my right, it's my choice to decide what's good and bad. People hate that to this day. You know, Jesus Christ told his disciples, and us for that matter, because there'll be people listening to what I say today that won't like it. Well, tough. Christ said, if they hate you, remember they hated me first. And so for Adam and Eve to make this choice and listen to the devil, they had to lose any love they had for God, any appreciation they had for God, the fact that God had given them their lives and that he'd given them this garden to live in. And I might mention, we don't have any idea how long they had lived in that garden. I guess people think that, a lot of people in the church probably think that about the time the first Sunday came around, Adam and Eve bolted and left. They may have lived in that garden successfully for hundreds of years. We don't know. And they had to come from Adam and Eve. The whole system was different. We would probably be totally amazed at how great everything was for Adam and Eve before that sin was committed. And so in this society today, everybody thinks that next year is going to be better than last year, that we're going to get a better government, or that man's knowledge is going to free him from a lot of things. You know, there's things that have happened, you know, yellow fever and smallpox, and those diseases have been wiped out temporarily. Polio has been wiped out. I remember, you know, when I was growing up, there was a lot of kids that had infantile paralysis. It was a fear of every parent. And those things have happened. But look at all the other things that were not even an issue. So much cancer, you know, I could just go on and on. And the things that are plaguing human beings. In fact, it's got to work. Nobody's happy for very long without drugs or alcohol or something to distract them from real life. I don't know what a large segment of this society is going to do when the internet goes down, because I don't think they'll have any minds left, because it's an obsession. It's an obsession. And so, you know, you can't hardly watch television or see anything without ads about how they're going to wipe out cancer. If they do, there'll be something else come along. Mm-hmm. How about Alzheimer's? You know, it's something that's pretty new on the scene, and it's affecting so many people. I've known people that, you know, it's a far cry from what the Bible talks about in the future in Jerusalem, and how it's been asked that the children would be playing in the streets and the old man would be sitting there. And I remember how it used to be around my hometown, is that there was places in town where you could go and find the old man sitting all day long every day. And now they're all in a nursing home somewhere, and probably don't have so many of them are drugged out so much they don't have any idea where they are or who they are, for that matter.
Yeah.
And so are we really going forward? Do we really know what good and evil is when it comes to sexual misconduct? I'll just label it that. It'll be a broad thing. The world and our society doesn't care. They don't care at all. everybody has a right to be immoral. That's the philosophy of the world today. And I've got some examples that of how mixed up everything is. These are things that I have read, on the internet. I read three of them, and I was told what the other one, the things that have happened that shows to the extent of man's stupidity, because he thinks he can decide what is right and wrong. The little five-year-old boy that was expelled from school, thrown out of school for sexual misconduct because he kissed a little girl on the hand. Or the other little boy that got thrown out of school because he shot his fake bow and arrow in class. People that did that, they're smart. They're smart. They're intelligent. Or the other boy that took his Pop-Tart and made it in the shape of a gun, and they threw him out of school. Boy, we've come a long way, haven't we? We've come a long way. We've learned about good and evil because of some of the practices. The one that I was told about that's the most diabolical and evil one of all is about a little blind boy that I guess the crowd was cheering the bully on, then the bully was bullying him, I guess pushing him and shoving him and just doing what bullies do, advertising their stupidity. And there was a young man there that was a football player, and he tackles the bully and pulls him off the little boy. They give him an award. They give him an award by this society's standard. They kick him out of school, the boy that attacked the bully, because they don't have the foggiest idea what good and evil is. They don't have the least idea in the world. So all you people that think that we live in a society that's so smart, it will go down in history as the dumbest of all societies, probably since Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
This has been James Throgmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.